All right. Okay, so we left off yesterday on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara had said, what was another one of the Gezeiras? Another one of the Gezeiras was that Tumah can be transported. You see, generally we hold that in order for Tumah to go up and move alongside something, for example, we know that you're not allowed to go past a tree that has Tumah on it. That one part of the tree is in the base, is in the cemetery, and the other part of the tree hangs over the Rishus HaRabim. That's why in Lakewood, in fact, right over here on Pratt, there's a Kohanim that don't travel on Pratt, because one part of the tree is in a cemetery, and the other part of the tree is in Rishus HaRabim. So the Tumah is transported over through the tree. Not through the tree, but it hits the underside of the tree and it travels alongside the branches. Now, one of the gezeiros was that it's going to travel alongside a branch, even if that branch is only one-third of an amma thick. And that was one of the gezeiros, that even if it's only one-third of an amma thick, it's nevertheless going to transfer among the branch. The Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon said, that's not true. It will not travel alongside the branch, unless it is a tefach thick. It needs to be a tefach thick in order to travel alongside the branch. It's going to go up, and it will be metame anything in its past. If you put a needle over a grave, that needle will become tame, because the tumah goes straight up and runs right through it and goes higher. So if you put a needle over the grave, it will become metame, but it won't stop and travel alongside it, on the underside of it. They said that by a stick that's a third of a tefach, it will. Rabbi Tarfon said that's not true. How did they get mixed up? He said what happened was you had a farmer who was carrying this wooden pole on his back, and he was walking, and the back of the pole passed over a grave. So what happened was the tumah went up, hit the pole, and it was metame the pole. Then the farmer who was touching the pole became tameh, not as a person who touched a mace, or a person who was in the same oil as a mace, but rather a person who touched a keli that touched a mace. So he became a rish in the tumah. And the person who saw the chachamim saying this guy was tameh figured that he was tameh with a tumas shiva, with a real tumah. But the reality was he was not tameh a tumas shiva. So that was the chiddush of the rabba, that was the shaklavataria of the that was the shaklavataria that we saw yesterday. So we're holding Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Tarfon said that akapeh es bani. He said he will have to cut down his son. He will bury his son. Shazu halacha mekupachas, because this is a halacha that should be cut down. Shama hashemeya, there's somebody who heard this psak. Heard it, v'tan, he made a mistake. He heard ha'ikar, a farmer, over umar de'oy al-kseifoy, was passing with this stick that he uses to guide, this cattle prod stick that he uses to guide the cattle, v'il tzidoy achas ala kever, and one side of it went over a kever, it was mahil. It went over a kever, it created an oil of a kever. Tim oy oysoy mishum kelim ha'ma'ahilim esame alameis. And they were metame that one side because of the concept of kelim that are mahil on the mace. And Amar Rabbi Akiva, so period. So that's what happened. And that was the mistake. So now Rabbi Akiva comes to try to save the day. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ani Asakin, I'm going to fix it up. Sheyehidvirei Chachamim, that the Chachamim say, that the thickness of a Mardeya is Taka, brings over the Tuma Kayam. He says, no, they didn't make a mistake. The Gezerah, one of the 18 Gezerahs was as follows. He says that the gezeirah was that if the item that you are carrying has a circumference of a tefach, then it will be able to transport the tumah. In other words, it's true midiraisa, you need a flat item the size of a tefach in order for the tumah to go up, stop, and travel alongside it, on the underside of it. However, says Rabbi Akiva, they were misakin that if it has the circumference of a tefach, that also is going to be that also is going to make the item transport the tuma. And the reason is, explains Rashi, since anyways we're going to be metame the guy, we're going to be metame the guy anyways. So why are we being metame the guy? Because, so in other words, it's not going to be true with regards to that tree on Pratt. With regards to that tree on Pratt, where the branch, let's say, is not a tefach wide, it's only a tefach circumference, we're not going to say that the tuma is transported. Only specifically to the guy who's holding that branch or that stick, there, since anyways we have to be metame him because he's touching the stick which became tame, so we don't want other people to make this mistake. So therefore we're going to say that if it has anything to do with a tefach, a circumference of a tefach, we're going to be metame him. So it was a special gezeira. That is this new gezeira. Since anyways we're going to be metame him midioraisa, because you're holding on to it, so therefore we're going to say be metame him all the way and act as if the tuma hit it and traveled across. So again, the difference between the tuma hitting it, being metame it, and going straight up is that the tuma will just be metame the keli will become an av, and then the person holding it will become a rishon. But if the tuma hits it and travels across it, then it's as if he was in the same oihel as the mace, and he becomes an av. He has to be metame himself with the tuma, with the para aduma waters, and he has to wait 7 days. That's going to be the difference between the two cases. Either he's going to become a para aduma, he's going to have to wait 7 days, or he won't have to wait 7 days. He'll just become tame because he touched somebody who went to a funeral. No, ani asakin means he was. I'm not going to be misakin it, but he's saying I'm going to fix up this mistake. I'm going to fix up and I'm going to explain to you what this gezeira was. He's putting it back as part of the 18. He's just helping out. Va'al atzman b'kol she'en va'al shar adam v'kelim v'paseach tefach. Al atzman, for itself to become tame, this is already mitiraisa, b'kol she'en. If you put a needle over a grave, the tuma is going to go straight up and going to be metame the needle. And val shara the mekalim, on anything else that you're not that's not touching it, for example, anybody passes under those trees in Pratt, on Pratt Street, is b'tepe'seach tefach. It's only usur, it's only tame, if it is the width of a tefach. Then it goes up and it travels across. That's the only time you have an issue. Va'amar Rabbi Yanai u'mardeya she'amru. This mardeya is ein ba'ovye tefach v'yesh behekefei tefach. It does not have, the reason why we're making this gezeira on the mardeya is because albeit it does not have the width of a tefach, nevertheless it has the circumference of a tefach. And therefore, v'yesh be'hekefei tefach, it has the circumference of a tefach. And v'gozru al hekefei, and there were gozer on the heck of a tefach, mishum avyei, because of the width of a tefach. Meaning, since it has a tefach in its shiur, part of the shiur, part of the shiur is a tefach, so therefore we were gozer on a width, a circumference tefach, so basically it's even less than half a tefach. It's even a third of a tefach, because every tefach, every half a tefach this way is automatically half a tefach the other way, on the top, plus you have the sides, the north and the south side. So that's why a mardeya, which is a round thing, is even a third of a tefach is going to be, it should really even be, well, it's not a quarter of a tefach, because you have to shave off the sides. So it's about a third of a tefach circumference. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Tarfon, the Amar, according to Rabbi Tarfon, who says that this is not true, this was not one of the gezeiras. According to Rabbi Tarfon, who says, Akapechas benish alachazu mekupachas. So, by the way, there is a Gemara, I forget exactly where, maybe Sanhedrin, that says, according to, Rabbi Tarfon says it a lot, Akapechas benish. So according to Rabbi, what happened to Rabbi Tarfon's sons, the Gemara said. He always said, Akapechas benish. The Gemara says, Lamaisa, he had to bury all his sons. So the Rabbi Tarfon, who said that he would bury his sons if this because this halacha is not true, so batzulahu, he's missing one of the 18. So Yigamar says, yeah, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Af Benayis Kusim Nidas Marisasin, Bar Bayam Gazru. Remember we had this yesterday already. According to Rabbi Yossi was also missing one of the 18. So he said, yeah, they made a new gezera that Nidois, that Benayis Kusim, that Kusi girls, even if you paskin that they're Jewish, nevertheless have a status of being a Nida from the time they're in their crib. And that was the gezera. And but the Gemara points out, since he holds that this one is one of the 18, then in the other one, Be'idach Svir Leker Karebi Meir, he's going to have to hold with regards to the earlier machlekas that we had on Tezayin Mabez between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, that he's going to have to hold like Rabbi Meir. This was regards to that machlekas of on Tezayin Mabez with regards to if a person has the kalim underneath the kalim underneath the drain pipe and you forget it there. Reb Meir said that both Beisham and Beisila argued about it, and eventually this was one of the 18 things that they made a gezera, that even if you forget the kalim in the drain pipe, it's still going to be tame. Even if you forget the kalim in the drain pipe, it's still going to be tame. Sorry, it's still going to be Mayim Shuvim, not Tameh. It's still going to be Mayim Shuvim as the waters run down the drain pipe. Let's say I leave Kalim outside in the garden and underneath the drain pipe, and 2 weeks later I come back and they're full. So in that case, Rabbi Meir says that it's called Mayim Shuvim, and that's one of the 18 Gezeiras. And Rabbi Yossi said it's not. So we asked, according to Rabbi Yossi, so what do you do? You're missing one of the 18? We said, yeah, add in this one of Nidas Ma'ari Sasan. But the Gemara is now pointing out that Rabbi Tarfon, who minuses this one, and he adds Nidas Meir Sasson for this one, he's going to have to hold like Rabbi Meir in the previous sukkah. Okay. Okay, next one. Next to the 18, V'iduch, Haboitze Lagas. If somebody goes ahead and plucks grapes, Lagas, in order to squish them, this is already mentioned, we already brought this sukkah down for earlier, but we are now explaining that we already brought the sugya down earlier, but we are now explaining that it's one of the 18. If somebody is boitzer, he goes ahead and he harvests his grapes, lagas, in order to squish them, in order to make wine out of them. So automatically we have to assume that as you're plucking them, some of the grapes are going to emit some liquid, and they will get the other grapes wet. Now we have mentioned several times that in order to make anything tamei, it has to have gotten physically wet with the appreciation of the owner in its detached lifetime. So once you take the grape off, now we're going to assume that some of the liquid comes out, and so as you pluck it off, some of the liquid comes out. Is the owner appreciative of the grape juice that comes out onto that grape? Shamai Omer Huchsher. The grape does become Muchsher to be Makabal Tumma. And Hillel Omer Loi Huchsher. It is not Huchsher. Omer Le Hillel Shamai. Mipnei Ma Boitzrin B'Tahaira. Why are you... Boitzer b'tahira, meaning, why do we make you use kalim? Why do we make you use baskets that are tahar so that you're not going to transmit and convey tuma to the kalim, to the grapes? And the question is, how could they become tuma? You just plucked them off. They never got wet in their detached lifetime. No, Beis Shammai holds that the very act of you pulling them down probably gets them wet. So, therefore, Beis Shammai requires you that when you go harvesting, you use kalim, you use baskets that are tahar. Ve'ein moiskin b'tahira. And why are you makbid on grape juice and you're not makbid on olive oil? You'd say this doesn't exist by olive oil. Why not? Oh my loy. And Shammai says, Im takli teini, if you bother me, because Rani Tuma Alfala Masika. I'm gonna say it also by Masika. You're right. You keep asking such questions that we're going to make the Gezeirah by Masika also. Okay. Reminds me of some rabbinic meetings I was by recently. So, where they were not simple meetings. So, the Gemara says, Noatzu Cherev Bebeis HaMedrash, they put a sword in the base of Medrash. Va'amru, and they said, Hanichnas Yikanes, whoever wants to come in should come in. Vahayoitzi al Yetzi, but whoever's in here is not allowed to leave because they wanted to go ahead and take a vote and find out what the halacha is going to be. Va'oisa hayoim hayahil kafa v'yoshiv l'vnei Shammai. On that day, Hillel was outnumbered, and he sat in front of Shammai. Ke'echad min ha'tamidim. It sounds like Hillel himself, like one of the students, Vahaya Kosha Yisrael Kiyom Shinasa Boya Egel. And it was as hard for Klal Yisrael as the day that the Egel was the day the Egel was done. Rashi explains that's a hard Gemara. Just looking at Rashi. Kasha Lefisha Hillel Nasi Va'anvasan. Kasha, Rashi explains that it was really hard for Klal Yisrael because Hillel was the Nasi and such a big Anav. He was so humble. Not sure why that makes it hard.
The Chazam Sofer has an explanation.
Yeah.
He says that Shikashem Shibamaisa Ha'egel Lo Shamu Yisrael Lekol Ahara. Nachman's gadol ad benusa shel Aaron, the kashas arfam shel ha'evlim lelendo, kach kan lo nasu panem begilol shem bi nasi. Nachman's gadol ad benusa.
So he should have said that. In other words, sometimes the leader has to take a stand. So Aaron should have taken a stand, and sounds like the Klal Yisrael should have been nicer to Hillel. That's what it sounds like. That you just read me. I don't know if Hillel should have taken a stand. I mean, he was outvoted. What did he want?
Yeah, so he goes weiter that it's on the Zibor to have respected the Anav leader. That was the mistake. Just like at Egel, they should have been more respectful of Aaron, so to hear.
Aha. Okay. It should have been... It's Klal Yisrael's problem because they should have respected the leader more. Okay. Fine, v'gozer Shammai v'hil. Okay, fine, very nice. So you're explaining from the Chassam Sefer that the reason is why it was a bad day for Klal Yisrael because they should not have allowed this scene to happen. Hillel Maisa was the Nasi. They should not have allowed the Nasi to go ahead and sit down in front of Shammai. This is an embarrassment for?
It was an embarrassment that Hillel was humiliated.
Right.
It's not enough that he was made to be outvoted. It was that his words weren't even given a listen to, and the Shammai celebrated when they won. So it was, Archibald says that it was the humiliation that brought him.
I hear it. This is also a lesson for this, I hear. Okay, I will take this lesson in Mirtz Hashem. Interesting. Okay, so at that point, the Gozer Shammai v'Hillel, and Shammai and Hillel made special gezeiras. To that from now on, this is considered a hechsher for tuma. V'loy kiblu minayu, and l'maisa Klal Yisrael was not mekabelet. When the Talmidim came along in this attic, the Gazer, and they reissued that same Gezerah, the Kiblu Minayhu. So it was one of the 18 Gezerahs. Even though it's true, Shammai and Hillel years before had already issued this Gezerah, nevertheless, it didn't catch on. And however, years later, when they had this attic meeting, it caught on, and that's why it became one of the 18 Gezerahs. My Taima. What's indeed the reason? What's Taka the Pshat? So he'll ask Shammai, what's the Pshat? And Shammai just retorted strongly, like, okay, fine, I'll do it there too. But Lamaisa, what's the Pshat? What is the reason that they made this Gezerah? Amr, like, it has to be, again, that it got wet as with the owner appreciating it. So why do you appreciate it? Amar Ziri, Amar V'chanina, Gzeira, Shema Yivtzureno, Bekupes Tameis. The reason is because we are scared. Now, here's a rule. There's a machlekes in Tanoim, in the Mishnah in Machshirin. This that I said, and I've been saying since the beginning, whether or not that the water has to go on with the appreciation of the owner is only if the water is tahar. So that's why we always talk about it, because usually the water is tahar. We talk about whether or not it rains on the item, whether or not you appreciated it. Rain naturally is tahar. And we talk, all these, usually the case is talking about what is tahar. What happens if the water itself in question is tameh? If the water itself in question is tameh, there is an opinion in the Tanoim, it's a machlekes, it's a Maseches Machshirin. They say over there that you don't need to have it to be with the appreciation of the owner. If tameh liquid falls on an object, it's automatically mukshar, and it automatically becomes tameh. The whole question of appreciating whether or not the water or the liquid falls on it is only if it's tahar liquid, which it usually is. So the Gemara says, you know what Shammai was concerned about? So they hold the Mechiyutan, but only if it's tahar water. They agree to Mechiyutan. You're making a good point. I don't remember if it is a Dioraisa, it's Dioraisa, it's definitely Dioraisa. I don't remember if they have a Gzeiras HaKasav. Rashi over here says Lo Yodana Hecha, Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down a whole bunch of places where he says Lo Yodana Hecha, but the Tosis is the one who brings it down. B'Tosefta the Machshirin Gabay Areva Chiyora Delef L'Teicha B'Shamei Amar Harizah B'Chiyutan. That it somehow qualifies as bechiyutan. So I don't know if they somehow put it into that pasuk through another pasuk, or they just feel it goes. But it definitely it's the Araisa. So now the question is that. The question is that if you have if you are now being collecting these grapes with a keli, with a basket that is tamei, what's going to happen is some of the grapes will emit grape juice. The grape juice will drip down to the bottom of the basket. The grape juice will then touch the basket. The water is automatically wet. It doesn't need to get wet from other places. It will contract tumah from the tumah basket. It will then retouch the grapes, which will automatically machshir it, based according to a mayor's opinion. And it will automatically remachshir it. It will be metama the grapes. To prevent that, Beis Shammai says that it's always machshir the grapes. Why is that going to help? Since it's automatically machshir the grapes, you're going to want to use a tahar keli to be metahar, to harvest the baskets. And this way, you're going to always want to use a tahar basket in order to harvest it. And this way, you won't be machshir your liquid, which will machshir the grapes. So the Gemara says that that's subject to a machlekes. That's good according to the one who says that a keli, which is tamei, can turn it into mashkin automatically, and it will automatically, even without you wanting it, will be mashed the grapes. Shapir. Then we can understand why they made such a gezeira. But according to the one who says that it's not true, and it's not automatically b'chiyutan. So ma'ikala meimar, what could be the explanation for why we want these grapes to become tamei? if I remember correctly, somebody's supposed to ask also, and what taka is the pshat that they didn't make the gezeira by grapes, by olives? There should be the exact same gezeira by olives.
Olives are harder to crush and get liquid out of the inside.
Oh, so one second. I'm seeing taste of the lachila gezeira olive masikat the gezeira shemiv sirna because mizvav is lechayach b'zaisin to melayitz behem lechashiv mashke. Yeah, so Taisa says that the little juice that is similar to excellence, like you're saying, that when juice comes out of olives, you need the only thing that's able to be considered a liquid. There's only seven liquids. If you go ahead and get pomegranate juice, that's not considered a liquid. Only olive oil, grape juice, certain things are considered a liquid. What are blood, dew? You know, there's certain liquids. The excellent, yeah, that's excellent. That's right. Yad Shachatam is the acronym. So says Tosfos that the little one of those Yad Shachatams is shemen. So the little, that's only real oil. The little juice that's emitted by an olive as it sits there is not considered olive oil. It's considered just, it's like the same way apple juice gives off a little juice. So too, these olives give off a little juice, but it's not the real essence of the olive oil. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Tosis is the one who asks the question. So the Gemara says, El Amar of Ziri, Amar of Chanina, Gzeira Shema Yivtzerenu Bekufais Mezufafais. You know what the Gzeira is? The Gzeira is maybe you're going to come and you're going to go and harvest with baskets that are waterproof and that will contain all the liquid. So now it's totally different. Don't tell me you're not appreciative of any liquid that comes out. You are appreciative. You don't have to squish it. This is the start of your squishing process. Any liquid, any juice that is emitted during the harvesting process and it goes into this basket or it gets weighted down by the other grapes is a benefit to you because that's the start of the squishing process. You want grape juice. So now you're going to pour this entire thing into the vat. It's already going to have some of the grapes squished a little bit. That's already to your benefit. So therefore, don't tell me it's not to your benefit. It is to your benefit. That is the first explanation for why you might be appreciative. Rava Omar, Gzeira Mishum HaNoishchis. Alternatively, it is a Gzeira because of those grapes that are born, that grow stuck together. And therefore, when you harvest your grapes, you separate them. And you go ahead and you pull it off, and then you yank them apart, and you put them into the basket. Now, there's another rule. If you do something with your hands, that's automatically considered b'chiyutan. If you yourself wet it, you can't say, I don't want to wet it. So therefore, since you physically took it apart, that's considered b'chiyutan. So that's another reason for the gezeira. Okay. Rav Nachman Amar, Rabbi Baravua, pa'am mish'adam ha'ilich l'karamai. Sometimes a person goes into his vineyard, and this is a third explanation. So we have three explanations for why Beis Shammai made this gezeira. Three explanations. Explanation number one is because we are scared that you are going to use a basket that you want it to get squished in. That's going to be the start of your squishing process. Explanation number two is because you might physically do it yourself in order to separate the stuck grapes. And explanation number three is Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabbi Baravua, who says that pa'amish adam ha'ilech l'karamai, sometimes a person is going to go to his vineyard, leida im higia hanovim lebitzira, to figure out whether or not these grapes have reached the stage of being ripe or not, oiloi or not. V'noitel eshkel hanovim l'sechete, he's going to take off one grape and squish it again with his hands. And it will drip onto the other grapes. And then he'll be like, yeah, it's good. It's ready to go. And then he's going to start to pluck all the grapes. They're still going to be wet from what he just squished. And then, at the time that you start plucking them, your grapes are still going to be wet. And since, again, you did it b'yodayim, it's automatically b'chiyuta, and it's automatically considered hochshar. Okay. So that is, I lost count already exactly what number we're up to, but that is the next gezeira. All right, we are only half an amud away from finishing the gezeiras, and then we're going to go back to Hilchos Shabbos. So if anybody is getting scared from all the Tumah Tahara, we're almost out of the woods. Mind you, Shabbos has quite a lot of Tumah Tahara, but for now we're good. Ve'iduch, what's the next one? Amar Tevi Rishba. Tevi was his name. Actually, Tevi was quite a common name back then. As we saw in Masechah Sukkah, Tevi was also the name of Baron Boys. Do you know? Who is Tevi?
Rabbi Gamliel.
Excellent. Very good. Rabbi Gamliel's slave was also named Tevi. So Tevi, the Rishba, Tevi was also a trapper. So another Tevi. We come across our second Tevi of the time. So Tevi, the trapper, Amar Shmuel, he said in the name of Shmuel, Af Gidule Truma, Truma, Bay Bayem Gazru. The concept, and this is a Gemara, is a Mishnah Meseches Trumas, and it's elaborated on in Meseches. It's elaborated on in Meseches Nedarim that Gidule Truma, that's where the Ikar Sugya is in Nedarim. Gidule Truma is Truma that if you go ahead and you take, let's say you go ahead, you take a pepper that you made Truma, and instead of giving it to the Kohen, you go ahead and you plant it. So the halacha is that anything that grows from that plant, even though technically it's a whole new thing because it's the seeds and it's a whole new thing, nevertheless, the Gedulei Truma has the status of Truma, even though, midiraisa, it shouldn't. Midiraisa, we say that the seed technically totally rotted in the ground. That's how it happened. And it's a whole new plant. Nevertheless, they were geyser that if you misuse your Truma and instead of giving it to the Kohen, you plant it, they are made a gzeira that whatever grows from that plant is truma forever, and gedulei truma is truma. Bayim gazru, on that day they made this gzeira. My taima, what's the reasoning? What's the reason they made this gzeira? Amar v'chanina gzeira mishum truma tahira b'yad Yisrael, because we are scared that a Yisrael will go ahead and instead of giving it to the Kohen, he will go ahead and he'll plant it. And if we remain with the D'oraisa, that the plant that grows from it is not Truma, so then the Yisrael will get away with not having to give Truma. So we are concerned for this Cheshash, that perhaps you'll have this Yisrael who's a stingy person, he refuses to give his 2% to the Kohen, he's going to separate Truma, allowing him to eat everything else, and his Truma he'll plant. And this way, he'll get away with not having to give Truma. The Gemara says, that's really the reason? Because we're scared for a stingy Jew? First of all, there's no such thing as a stingy Jew. But the Gemara says, Amarava, I dechashidi lahachi. If we're concerned for this, so then you don't have to really take off Truma. You see, the halachas of Truma 2% is a recommendation. We all know the differences now between recommendations and mandates and things like that. It's 2% is a recommendation. It's not a requirement. There's no police going to make sure that you are abiding by the 2% recommendation. If you want to go ahead and you have a massive farm, you own half of Idaho, and you take off one potato for your entire Idaho potatoes, that could be your truma. There's no minimum or maximum for truma. So if we're talking about Mr. Stingy over here, so then you don't have to say that he took off 2% and then he planted it because he was stingy. Let him take off his one potato and send it to the Kohen via snail mail. That would be okay also. He's chosen for the stamp. He won't have to take off anything because you don't have to take off anything more than one potato for everything. And Kevin de Efshalim Evel Chita Achas, you could take off one kernel of wheat, Kedesh Shmuel, Vloika of it, Hemunim Amni, since he is actually taking off 2%. So then we're not concerned that he's going to suddenly change his mind and become so stingy, and he should be believed. You see, there is this concept of, of somebody who promises to do a lot, and then he's like, nah, maybe not. So the Gemara obviously is not concerned that he'll take it off the stuff, and then he'll change his mind, and he'll want to keep it. felt bad because somebody called me Motzei Shabbos to give a large sum of money to people to a family in our shul, and I told him it was Motzei Shabbos. I told him, okay, I'll give it to me tomorrow. And then I felt bad because I'm like, hold on 1 second. If I say give it to me tomorrow, by the time tomorrow comes, it will be 1/10 of the price that he wants to give right now. Obviously, right now he became he was inspired for whatever reason to give however he became inspired. By the time tomorrow comes, a $5,000 check will become $50. So I better get it right now. So the Gemara said that if a person is taking off the truma, he's not going to change his mind. He's not going to suddenly become stingy overnight. Ella says the Gemara, Gzeira mishum truma tamei abiyad kohen. That's not the Gzeira. Rather, the Gzeira is a Gzeira of truma tamei, of truma that is tamei in the hands of the kohen. What do you do with truma tamei? You have to go ahead and burn it. But this kohen is going to say, instead of burning this truma, why don't I just plant it? And if I plant this truma, what's going to happen? It's going to grow a whole new plant, and I'll be able to, instead of burning it, I'll be able to use it. So therefore, we are concerned that we don't want that to happen. Why not? I'll tell you why not. Because what happens if it becomes tamei in September, and the planting season is only April 15th? You know what's going to happen? You're going to have to keep these pepper seeds or whatever, these tamei potatoes in your basement for 6 to 8 months. And in those 6 to 8 months, you might come to make a mistake and use them. People will forget. People will mix them up. We don't want you to have tamei stuff around the house. Burn it right away. Dilma mashi le gabe. Perhaps you will keep it by you until the planting season comes. Va'osi le de takalan. You might come to eat it. So therefore, they made a gezeira that whatever the plant is as it is planted, that's what it will be as it grows. So if it was truma when it's planted, it will be truma when it grows. If it was truma tamei when it's planted, it'll be truma tamei when it grows. And therefore, this way, the kohen will not feel the need to keep it in his backyard or in his garage until the planting season. Because no matter what, it's going to be truma tamei when it grows. So therefore, he'll destroy it right away. So that was the reason they made the gezeira. Okay. The next one of the 18. Amar Rabbi Bar Ami ve'iduch. Amar Rabbi Bar Ami mishmei de'ula. Af mi shehichshich loy bederech. Noisin kisei lenachri. Boy bayem gazru. The halacha is that if somebody is walking on the way and it becomes dark for him, meaning it's Erev Shabbos, and he's stuck downtown, and he has his wallet on him, so the halacha is that technically what he's allowed to do midiraisa is he's allowed to walk three amas. That's midiraisa, totally mutter. However, we're going to see in Masechah Shabbos, in fact, that's the 24th perek, Misha Hichshich, they said preferably it's better to give it to a non-Jew than to go three amas. Because it is very difficult to make a mistake between three amas and four amas. So we don't want this walking 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. We'd prefer if you give it to a guy and ask the guy to take it. If you have a goy around. If you don't have a goy around, they still allowed you to go ahead. We'll see all these dinim in the 24th parak. This is very nogeya. If somebody is stuck downtown on a short Shabbos or something like that, like what should he do? You know, what happens if he's still on the subway? Does he have to get off the subway? Can he stay on the subway? These questions do come up. I've gotten these questions, on Erev Shabbos, literally 6 minutes before Shabbos. Like, Rabbi, I just got on the train. Do you have to get off the train? Do you have to give your wallet to a guy? Where do you park your car? Do you have to walk home? I'm saying, so in a city that's not so dangerous, and you're driving your car, somebody's like, I'm stuck in traffic. So if you're stuck in traffic downtown, it's going to be two hours home. You find your nearest Walmart or whatever, a parking lot that you don't think your car will get towed. Leave everything in the parking lot besides, the fare for a bus or a subway. And could be you can get on the subway. Could be you should have to walk home, depending on the situation. But you definitely cannot drive in Chicago. Now, of course, if it was a really dangerous situation, then you could, maybe you could drive. But because then it's Pikuach Nefesh. But right now, we don't live in a situation where Southside Chicago is Pikuach Nefesh, especially if you're not carrying any money. Kepshute. Okay, that was another one of the gzeres that you should not rely on the walking 3 feet, 3 amas. You should give it to a guy. The idach. What's another one? Omar Baali. Baali, who is a name. Omar Avimi Sin Vesa'a, who is Avimi the Sin Vesa'a. That probably means he was blind. How does art school translate? How does art school say that? Do they say he was blind or?
Exactly.
What? They say he was blind? Or no, they just say that was his name. They just say Sin Vesa'a. Okay, because usually a Sin Vesa'a could mean blind. I was just wondering if they like they that was his name or okay.
It's a place name.
Uh-huh, okay, fine. Sin Vesa'a, really, they say it's from a place. So one second. Rashi says Shemakam. I see that. I'm just wondering if anybody translates this like the because generally this is a expression. I'm trying to see. Do they bring down anything on the bottom of the Masifta? Okay, all right, we'll go with Rashi. This is a Avimi from Sinvas. That Piton, Ushmanan, Viyenon, and Ubenoseyan, Kulon Mishmana Esedavar, Hain, the concept of Pas Akum, and Shemen Akum, and Yayin Akum, which is. And the daughters of Akum. This one is all part of the 18 gezeiros. I'm trying to. So one second. So. So the concept of. I'm trying to remember. Okay, fine. Let's see the Gemara coming up. So these are these next four things, which is their bread, which is this pasakum, their shemen. If I remember correctly, somebody takes out shemen because the gezeira didn't stand. We don't have an Isser on Shemen Akum. Okay, let's see the Gemara to the Mishnah and we'll see if anything comes.
We have in the notes here that the prohibition against oil of Shemen Akum was later rescinded by Rabbi Huda Hadnasi.
Yeah.
Not the
oh, Gemara and Gittin. Is it?
Vodah Zarah.
Okay, it's a Gemara and Gittin. The Gemara says that he was called the Matir because of it. Rabbi Huda. They started to nickname him Rabbi Huda, who was matter things, because he rescinded the gzeira on Shemen. Okay, so it used to be that the same way we were makbid on not having non-Jewish bread pasakum and non-Jewish wine, they were also makbid on non-Jewish oil. So until Rabbi Huda came along and he was mevatel that gzeira, and the iser on the ubenoseihen, the iser on the iser on yichud with goyim. So there's a machlekes. Tosis brings down a machlekes in Avodah Zarah. Is this iser a gzeira that the girls of a goy has a din of a nida? In other words, if somebody's with a non-Jewish woman. One of the things that we say that he was over was that he was over the Isser of Nida. Even though Nida technically does not apply to Nida does not apply to non-Jews. Midiraisa. Midiraisa, there's no Isser of Nida with a non-Jew. S. Nevertheless, Chazal were Goyzer on a non-Jewess that they have a din of a Nida. So there's a Machlekes, a Maseches Avodah Zarah. Is this one of the Gezeiros? Is that what this Gemara means? Or does the Isser of Yichud with a non-Jewess, is this a, because there's no Isser of Yichud Midiraisa with a non-Jewess either. So there's a question exactly, what does the Gemara over here mean? Well, this is a sugya really in Avodah Zarah, it's not the sugya over here. The Gemara just says that this is one of the 18 things. So, okay, so the Gemara says, Hanicha, the Gemara says, okay, so that is, the 18. Hanicha l'Rabbi Meir, says the Gemara. This is good according to Rabbi Meir, how we got to 18. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who counted already that the non-Jewish girls, the Nidas, were a Nida, so Shivsari Havyan, it was 17. There's you're only up to 17. And Tosis points out that we could have said according to Rabbi Tarfon, like we said at the beginning of today. Rabbi Tarfon took out the one with the stick being able to transport Tuma, and he put in women being Tummy. So the Gemara says, you're right, there's another one. Ika hadar of Acha bar Ada, Damar of Acha bar Ada, Amar Yitzhak, Gazu al Piton Mishum Shamnon. They were gozer on Pas Akum because of the oil, because if they allow you to eat bread, you might come to eat their oil. Va'al Shamnon Mishum Yenon. And on oil, they might come to go ahead and drink their wine. Says the Gemara, Piton Mishum Shamnon, my umid de Shemon mi pas. Why, if you, it's two separate gzeres. Why, if we allow you to eat their bread, you'll come to eat their oil? Ela gozer al Piton Vishamnon Mishum Yenon. Because they were gozer on their bread and their oil because of Stam Yayin. Now, by the way, mi diorisa, it's usher diorisa to go ahead and drink wine of a non-Jew that was used for Avodah Zarah. However, no wine nowadays was used for Avodah Zarah, unless you go over to those guys with the orange robes and the ponytails and those, you know, clinkers. So they're the only ones who are still serving Avodah Zarah nowadays with wine. But nowadays, the entire prohibition of yayin is all midrabanan, and it's called stam yenam. So it's not really diraisa. It's this gezeira right here that they were gezer. Why were they gezer? Al yenon, they were gezer on their wine mishum b'nai sehen, that they didn't want people to get to know non-Jewish women. That if you go ahead and we allow you to go ahead and drink in any bar, you know what's going to happen. You'll pull up to a bar, there'll be women there, which is exactly what happens with everybody else who's not Jewish. So therefore, that's why they were gozer against wine. Va'al b'nai seyen, and they were gozer against yichud with women, mishum davar acher, because they didn't want you to go ahead and serve Avodah Zarah. Because what happens is that the women would go ahead, like they did back in the times of, and they would say, oh, you wanna hook up? Here, go serve this Avodah Zarah. And Klal Yisrael would go serve Avodah Zarah in order to get to the women. Val davar acher, mishum davar acher. And they were gezer on, and there's another gezer where they were gezer on something else because of something else. What's this my davar acher? Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, this is a final. Gozer al tinoik nachri shematama beziva. They were gezer on a non-Jewish baby kid that he has a status of a baby boy, that he has a status of a zav. Shelo yehei tinik Yisrael ragel etzlei b'mishkav zachar. So that Jewish boys will not play with non-Jewish boys. Because we don't want a kids to have non-Jewish friends, because we don't want the non-Jewish kid to experiment with mishkav zachar with the Jewish boy. So therefore, we discouraged having friends in the playground with a non-Jewish kid. Of course, it's always super embarrassing when you take your kid to a playground and there's a non-Jewish kid there, and like, I'm not playing with him, he's a goy! Like, well, we don't talk like that, but, you know, try to be nice and friendly, although you don't have to play with him if you don't want, but at least you're nice and friendly. And I have many examples of, you know, super embarrassing stories like that. In fact, one time I had a little kid, like a three-year-old, at the front yard, and this lady passed, and she's saying hi to my kid, like a nice smile, and my kid's just staring at her with this like solemn face, and then so I'm like, say hi, and she turns to me very loudly and says, she's a kidnapper. So I'm not sure where that came from, but apparently it was the neighbors who told my daughter that this lady was a kidnapper because she looked like, you know, an older lady. Anyways, so I tried to explain that. I'm not really sure where that came from. This happens all the time, but of course you have to do it, you know, subtly and tell the children, you know, there's Yidden and there's non-Jews, but you have to be polite to everybody. But nevertheless, Chazal discouraged playing together, the two kids playing together, because you never know. Because so that's what it means, al davar acher mishum davar acher. The final thing is, they were geyser, al davar acher, they were geyser, that all non-Jewish kids have the status of zavs. So this way, parents will discourage the playing together, because otherwise their kid will always be tameh. Why, al davar acher, why would they geyser that mishum davar acher? Because they didn't want mishkav zachar. Ihachi says to Gemara, you're adding on this last one, that's the one that they're adding on. So l'Rabbi Meir, nami tishri avan, that's 19 then. So the Gemara says, the oichlin, see if you count them, there's 19. The Gemara says, oichlin, the kalim shenitmu b'mashkin b'chad l'chashilu. Rabbi Meir counts the first two that we counted, which is oichlin and kalim that get tummy with mashkin, are considered one gzeira, according to Rabbi Meir. So there's a machlekes if that's considered one or two. Okay, so that gets us to the Mishnah. All right, are we clear? Good? All right. So those were the 18 gezeiros of that were enacted, and the reason why they're listed over here is because number one and number two were Nogea Shabbos. Number one was you're not allowed to walk out on Erev Shabbos with something. You're not allowed to go ahead and use your. You're not allowed to go ahead and use a lantern on Erev Shabbos on Shabbos because you might come to tip it. And you were not allowed to walk out on Erev Shabbos with something in your clothes. So now the Gemara continues on the halachas of Erev Shabbos. I guess we'll just finish the Mishnah. You're not allowed to soak. The way they used to make ink for writing was they used to soak different roots and things like that in water and make the solution would become dark and whatever. So you're not allowed to soak them over Shabbos. Even if you put it in on before Shabbos. So, ain sharon deyoy, you're not allowed to soak these roots and make ink, visamanim, and different herbs in order to make ink. Vikarshinin, it's a type of karshinin, is cress, we always translate it as, and it's the reason why we soak it is to make it easier for the animals to eat. Elakadeshi yeshayri bajam, you're only allowed to soak it if it has completed its. It's completed. It's soaking. It's finished. It's soaking. While it is still day, Ubeisil matir. Ubeisil says no. So long as you put it in the solution before Shabbos, you're allowed to let it go over Shabbos. It's like leaving your. It's like Beishamai says you're not allowed to have your items work for you on Shabbos. So in other words, let's say turning your sprinkler on an Erev Shabbos. It's going to be working for you on Shabbos. Beishamai says no. You cannot have your items work for you on Shabbos. Beisil says you could. You're not allowed to put strings of flax inside the teicha tanur, inside an oven, in order so that it should become white. Unless it gets heated up and worked before Shabbos. And the same thing, lo as at semer le yairi. You're not allowed to put wool le yairi into a pot in order to have it dyed. Unless the dye is able to catch onto the wool. Again, it's the same idea. You're not allowed to do something before Shabbos that the item will continue working on Shabbos unless it is done before Shabbos. So you can't soak anything. You can't create anything to have it work for you on Shabbos. And we don't pass like that. But it's Hilma. We say you're allowed to have something work for you over Shabbos so long as it doesn't. You're allowed to have it work for you over Shabbos, so long as it doesn't. So long as you're not doing any action on Shabbos, and the same thing. You're not allowed to set a trap for animals or fish. Unless you set it up early enough that it will catch it before Shabbos. And again, Beis Hillel says it's mutter. You're not allowed to sell an object to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos if he's going to take it out on Shabbos. You can't help him load it up on the donkey if he's going to leave your house on Shabbos. You can't lift it on his back. Unless he is going to be able to reach his destination on Erev Shabbos, Beis Hillel says it is mutter. You're not allowed to put all the same idea. You can't do something on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, that will continue working for you on Shabbos. And Beis Hillel says no, and Beis Hillel disagrees with everything. You're not allowed to give leather to a leather tanner. The loy kalim lekavis, nor object, nor clothing to a laundromat who's a Nachri. Unless you know he's going to finish it before Shabbos. Ubekulon, and in all these cases, Beis Hillel matirin im hashemesh. Beis Hillel is mati you, so long as this, as long as the sun is still up, it's mutter for you to do. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Noi hagin. I'm sorry? Chalant? Yes, if it's cooking on Erev Shabbos. If it's cooking on Shabbos, then it would be the same machalikas, yeah. We're going to see chalant is a very different shayla. We're going to see that chalant is a very different shayla because there's going to be like five blad about chalant in the third parak. We'll get there. That's the Isser of Shehiya. That's actually when you learn Hilchas Bishul and Kailal, that takes a good month at least. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, noyeg in hayu beis Abba. We were noyeg in my father's house, which is obviously Rabbi Gamliel's house. Shahayu noisten kli lavan lekayvus nachri shlosh yom kedem Shabbos. That we would give a white shirt to a laundromat, at least 3 days before Shabbos, because that's how long it took. So in other words, he was going with Beis Shammai. That's how long it took for them to. That's how long it took the laundromat to clean white shirts. So apparently, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel went with Beis Shammai. B'shavin elu ve'elu, but both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that shetoyan in kairas Beis Habad ve'igulei hagas. And the Gemara is going to discuss why. But you're allowed to place a beam on top of Beis Habad is on top of in top of grapes, and igulei hagas is on top of olives. You're allowed to place a beam on them on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, and let it squish out on Shabbos. And the Gemara will discuss why this is different. And we will stop here. Have a great, amazing day. All right.
Sorry,
yeah.
Earlier, when we went through the total count of the 18,
yeah,
we said, "Oh, we only have 17."
Yeah.
According to Rabbi Yossi, didn't we answer earlier that Rabbi Yossi counted the Benos Kusim?
Yeah. So, the Benos Kusim and this Benos Sayan are the same halacha.
Oh, so. That which we stole from Yosef at 18, he's back down to 17?
Yes.
Got it. And this B'nai Sayhem means you're saying that they're leaders from infancy, not that it's also to marry them.
Well, also to marry them is a D'oraisa. Lo yischatin b'hem is a D'oraisa. You can't marry them as a D'oraisa. The question is, Yichud with them and the fact that they're nidus are derabanan.
And right, the nidus, right, okay.
That's only derabanan, yeah.
Cool.
Alright?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, hatzlacha.
Amen.
Again.